Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. There's something about your name. Yes. There's power in it. We thank you, Lord, for this glorious, glorious day that we get to come to your house in freedom. I pray for this world and the uncertainty we're in, that we can be an encouragement for others. Help us reach out to somebody in need. Help us be the light that you want us to be in this dark, dark world. Lord, I pray that the message today will be pleasing to our hearts and our minds. Lord, help us take it, what Brother Cal is going to preach, and go out into this community and teach it, Lord. Help somebody. I know everybody came here for a reason. And Lord, I pray if somebody is not your child, that they'll be your child today. Lord, break chains. Help someone step up and step out for you. Lord, thank you for what you do for us each and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. We've got a couple of thank you cards here. Is that all right if we start off that way? Thank you so much for hosting a baby shower table for us. We love the precious, I don't know what that word is. Onesies, is that a word? Onesies? Now, onesie is spelled O-N-E, right? Yeah. Well, this is spelled O-N-S-I-E-S. All right. So I'm not as dumb as I look. And the ABC Bible verses for little ones book. We can't wait to put them to great use and cannot wait for y'all to meet Sadie Mae. God sure has blessed us with an amazing church family, and we love each of you very much. Thank you so much again. It really means a lot. Michael, Terrence, Saylor, and Sadie Suter, which I think is going to show up pretty soon. Mom says, yeah. Anyways, we love y'all. And here's another one here. Wow. Okay. Thank you for your generosity and support during Law Enforcement Week of 2022. I guess maybe that happened during MoCo. Yeah, fantastic. God is good and all the time. And we will continue to minister to the folks in our community. That's kind of what I want to talk to you about today. And by the way, I hope all of you will stay and stick around for our kickoff event. And I know, you know, you're probably like me. You don't know anything about home groups. But this is going to be another avenue to help us reach new people for Christ. It's going to be another avenue to help us teach people how to follow Christ. And so hope you'll just stay around and enjoy some hamburgers and hot dogs and some chips and dessert and just fellowship, and want our Crossville connection to stay with us and eat with us. And then next Sunday, y'all, big day, Father's Day. It's such a privilege to be a dad. And hope y'all will be here for. And we're going to start off that next Sunday with baptism. I made this announcement during Sunday school. And you have someone that prayed to receive Christ recently, maybe through Vacation Bible School, or maybe you're an adult and you've never been really obedient in that area of your life and you need to be baptized by immersion. We'd love to get that done for you next Sunday. Just call me, call Taryn. Call Brother Andrew, call Billy Walker, call on Jesus, and we'll get you baptized, okay? So, having said that, we're in Philippians again, chapter 2. I'm preaching through the book of Philippians, and it would behoove us, like Billy tells you in Sunday school, go ahead and read through those chapters. We're in chapter 2, and we'll be in chapter 2. We're going to hopefully conclude with chapter 2 today. But it's been a great blessing. This is the theme of Philippians is the joy-filled life. If you've got Jesus, you've got joy. I don't know about some of you. If you've got Jesus, you've got joy. And joy is not happiness. Happiness depends upon your circumstances. Joy depends on a relationship with Jesus. Are y'all with me so far? All right, let's stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. And Adam, I think I'll just start off here in Philippians chapter 2 at verses 12 and 13. And maybe go down through verse 18, but we're going to preach through the end of the chapter unless Jesus comes first. So, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, here it is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault. Now listen to this. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Isn't this a fabulous passage of Scripture? Three of you think so. God bless y'all. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. There's a common word in there, and it's joy. Joy. You can have joy this morning in every circumstance of life. And no one can take that joy away from you. Dick, ask God to bless the word, would you?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today and fellowship with you. And we look forward to the word that you're going to bring us for our pastor. Bless this moment now, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you, my brother, and thank you, Will. Appreciate your prayer. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, the American Indian was known for his ability to track. Great trackers. They could follow a set of footprints for days. And they were so adept at it that the U.S. Cavalry decided to bribe the Indians so that they'd come and be their scouts. And man, they were like bird dogs on point. Those Indians could track a set of footprints no matter how old they were. They could tell you whether the footprints that they were tracking were of a friend or a foe, whether or not they were burdened and loaded down, whether they were fatigued or not. I mean, they could even tell you how old the footprints were. And they always found what they were looking for at the end of the trail. Last week, we learned that Jesus, and we're reminded that Jesus is our supreme example in humility. And we were challenged to have that mind of Christ. Y'all with me? You remember that? And so this morning, we've got a trio of trackers. And I want to talk to you, and their examples, their lives remind us of what it means to follow in the footprints of Jesus. I want to talk to you for a little while about just tracking with Jesus this morning. He's our example. We're to follow Him in every single way of life. And when we do that, that's what this trio of trackers did. And they found what they were looking for at the end of their trail. They found the mind of Christ. And that's what we're all supposed to have, the mind of Christ. And so let's talk about this trio of trackers for just a little while. The first example, of course, that we have of following in the footprints of Jesus is the example of the Apostle Paul. And his example provides what it means to rejoice in sacrifice, rejoicing in sacrifice. Now let me read 12 and 13 again because they're so important. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, and not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Where was Paul? He's in a prison cell in Rome, writing to the church in Philippi. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And so it's what we're learning this morning, it's possible to have joy in every circumstance of life, especially when we are tracking with Jesus, when we're following in the footprints of Jesus. And so first of all, in this great example that Paul provides for us in rejoicing in sacrifice, we're able to have sacrificial joy, first of all, in our conduct. That's what verses 12 and 13 are telling us. Work out your salvation. That phrase there is an imperative clause. If you're born again, you need to be working that thing out. Look at your neighbor and say, work it. Now, this side over here, look at your neighbor and say, work it. We're working it. Now, we're not talking about any kind of works like Billy was talking about earlier, works-based salvation. Paul's already writing to people who've been saved, who've been born again. So we're not talking about working or trying to earn or merit your salvation. I guess the phrase really carries with it the idea of working in a field so as to get the greatest harvest possible. Y'all with me? And so he says, work out your own salvation. And what the truth that he's trying to get across here is that God's got a plan and a purpose for everybody's life. God's got a plan and purpose in saving you. Yeah, he wants you to bring him praise and honor and glory. But he also has a plan and a purpose for your life. And so you need to be working that plan and that purpose out. Now, here's the cool thing. You get God's help in accomplishing what he wants done. That word work, that's our word for energy. How many of you figured out that he is the energizer? You can't live the Christian life on your own strength and power. It's an impossibility. But he can, and he said he would. And that's a reference there in verse 13 to will in you. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the desire, the direction, the discipline to follow Jesus, even in the midst of sacrifices. Amen? So, we're able to have sacrificial joy in our conduct, but secondly, he says, we're able to have this sacrificial joy in our character. Hang on. Look at verse 14 again. Do all things without complaining. Now, I like that word complaining there. I like what your King James translation says there. Can y'all say that word with me? Murmur. Murmur. That doesn't even sound good, does it? Murmur. You remember the Israelites? God brought them out, emancipated them, brought them out of Egypt. And the first thing they start doing, they get to the Red Sea, the Egyptian army's behind them, and they start murmuring. Then they get to Mount Sinai. Moses is up on Mount Sinai for days, and they begin to murmur. They murmured against Moses. They murmured about the manna. They murmured about the lack of water. They murmured about anything and everything. They even murmured about the report that Joshua and Caleb brought back from the promised land. They murmured so much that Moses lost his temper and forfeited his opportunity to head into the promised land. Murmur. Listen, brothers and sisters. Murmuring is what lost people do. You with me? That's what backslidden people do. Complaining and griping and grumbling and fussing and fighting with one. That should have no place. That word without there means to be isolated from. We're to be isolated from that type of character. We're not to be griping and grumbling. We're to be rejoicing. We're to be celebrating. I love the stuff about the Jewish wedding today. I was ready to get married again. Man, celebration, joy. Isn't that good? And so we're to be isolated from this stuff. And you can do, look at the words there in verse 15. He says that you may become blameless. Now that doesn't mean perfect. That means above reproach. Okay? And then harmless. That word there means innocent. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. In other words, the challenge here and the perspective here is of one of We live in a dark, sinful, perverted world. And we're to be living our lives in such a way and following Jesus so closely that we've got His Shekinah shine in us, on us, and through us. We ought to be lights in a dark world. Are y'all tracking with me right now? I know you want to track with Jesus, but are you tracking with me right now? Are you following in the footprints of Jesus? That's what He's talking about here. We ought to be isolated from this murmuring and griping and grumbling and complaining. Listen, the church isn't perfect, and if it were, you couldn't be here. Think about that. I was in a Disciple Now. I've been doing Disciple Nows for centuries. But back in 1987, I was up at this church in Paducah, Kentucky. We were staying. My host home was a young lady who was in the youth group there. And so we were in our Bible study sessions on Friday and all day on Saturday. And every session, she would ask us to pray that her dad would be saved. And so I thought, wow. And her dad was there in the house all weekend. He wasn't in the Bible studies and all that stuff, but late Saturday night in our last session, the phone rang. We were in the living room. The phone rang in the kitchen, and she jumps up to run back and answer the phone. Well, her dad beat her to the phone, and you could hear the conversation on one end, and he said, well, she's busy right now. Can I take a message? And evidently, whoever it was that called for this girl hung up. And man, I mean, this little girl ran into the kitchen, and she heard what, and she started running up one side and down the other, and her daddy, she was screaming at him. And it dawned on me right then. She wasn't shining for Jesus, was she? She wasn't lifting up His light, the Word of life, in a way that her daddy would want what she had. And you see, that's the way a child of God ought to live. We ought to live in such a way. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We say stupid things and do things. But we are different from the rest of the world. And when we shine for Jesus, they see it and they want what we have. Look at your neighbor and say, get your shine on. All right. That's better, y'all. Much better. So we should have sacrificial joy in our conduct, in our character, and then in our commitment. Look at verses 17 and 18. Yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Paul's sacrificial commitment to the Lord is a great example for every believer. The word poured out there speaks of a drink offering. You've heard us talk in Sunday school and Bible study about, you know, in the Old and New Testament, when you had a sin offering, sometimes the priest would lay the entire animal up on the altar. And every now and then, as a sign of total dedication and revival in the believer's life who needed forgiveness of sin, the priest would pour out a cup of wine on top of that hot, hot altar and that animal that was being sacrificed. And if it was done right, the wine would vaporize and rise in a puff of smoke, symbolizing that the believer who needed forgiveness was not only forgiven, but was committing and dedicating his or her life in all of its entirety to the Lord. And a lot of the time, Billy talked about wine this morning, it's a symbol of joy in the New Testament. And really in the Old Testament. It's a symbol of joy. And the application is this: the greater the sacrifice, the greater the joy. Some of y'all need a good touch of joy right now. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the joy. And Paul said, man, I know y'all are worried about me. I'm in prison. I may be poured out like a drink offering. I may have to lay down my life as a sacrifice for Christ. But he said, I'm good with that. My life's not important anyways. He said, what's important is your faith. And joy is the present reality in the life of every believer. And it comes through sacrificial commitment. That's good stuff, y'all. Sacrificial contentment and commitment. And so Paul provides us this great example of rejoicing in sacrifice, sacrificial living. By the way, let me just touch on that one more time. Listen, friend, God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And he does not play hide and go seek with his life. He doesn't play hide and go seek with his plan and purpose for your life. And you'll find it when God looks at your heart and says, well, oh, Diana's ready. She's ready to do whatever it is I'm calling her to do. She's going to go where I want her to go. She's going to say what. And then he gives it to her. Y'all with me? I think that's the primary reason why many folks, as believers, don't ever really find out what that plan and what that purpose is. Well, he might call me to go to the mission field. Well, so what? If he does, by the way, this is a mission field. When we go out the front door, this is a mission field. Clarksville is our mission field. And so get to the point where you're ready and willing to do and accomplish what God's plan for your life is. Get your mind off yourself and just get it on him. And that leads to the second trio of trackers, the second example of following the footsteps and the footprints of Jesus. It's the example of Timothy. Now, Timothy was a great example of what it means to live a victory-thrilled life. He was living for the service of others. Timothy was, I believe his spiritual gift was the gift of ministry, the gift of service. He had a servant's heart, and he provides that example for us. And the first thing that the Word of God's telling us in this particular passage here, in verses 19 through 21, is that we can triumph in the service of others. Look at verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul's in a Roman prison cell, and he's being detained there, and he can't go visit the church in Philippi that he founded. And by the way, Timothy was on that missionary journey with Paul when he founded the church at Philippi. And so Paul's wanting to know, how are things going in Philippi, especially at the church? But he'd asked some believers all over Rome to go, and nobody would go. But he said, that's okay, because I know Timothy will go. Aren't you glad the church has people that are willing to go and be a blessing and to serve others? Man, that's a great, great blessing. And so you remember when Paul first met Timothy? He was on his first missionary trip that he'd taken. And he comes to this little town called Lystra or Lystra. And Timothy lived there. And I think Timothy was saved under Paul's preaching. Timothy had been discipled by his mama and his grandmama, Lois and Eunice. And he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And Paul poured into Timothy and wound up taking Timothy to his second and third missionary trips. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But Paul sets Timothy before the church as an example of triumphant service. He said, man, I don't know if anybody else is going to come and give that report to me about the church, but I know if I send Timothy, he'll get the job done. Paul wanted to know how the church was doing, and who better than Timothy to go and to minister to them. They knew Timothy. He was there when they founded the church several months before this. And so Paul knew Timothy would go. Can I just tell you what a blessing it is to serve other people? I'm a little bit sore today, guys. Those of you that helped me move John Franklin yesterday, we had nine of our men that helped John Franklin, one of the friends of Second Mile Church. He had hired some guys he's the new director of missions up in Christian County, and he'd hired some guys on Wednesday to move the heavy stuff, the big furniture, all that stuff. And then I asked him how we could help, and he said, well, I need help loading up all the small stuff. Those of you that have moved here lately know exactly what I'm talking about. And so eight or nine of us went over to John's house yesterday, and we loaded up his U-Haul truck and took it over to a storage unit. And I want to tell you, I was so, so blessed to watch our men and a couple of our young boys. Man, that's where the joy is, in the service of others. And I could have used hundreds of other there's one right there. I was over at Kenwood for their Bible school this past week on Monday night and Tuesday night. I wasn't able to go because I needed to be here on Wednesday night, but I was in Diana's. She was teaching the Bible on Monday night and Tuesday. Let me tell you, they had almost 100 kids that night, and most of those kids had never even been in church anywhere. In other words, they didn't quite know how to act, and she's trying to teach 40 screaming kids. And so I'm sitting there with her, and anyways, we were just, wow, you know. And then Tuesday night, I'm making my rounds and making my way around, and I'll go down the steps to the nursery, and guess who's in there? This girl right here, Sarah Barnett. And I said, Sarah, is there anything I can get you? She said, yes, get me a Diet Coke. She had a little Down syndrome girl in there with her and another little active boy. And anyways, that's where the blessing of things comes into your life when you're serving others. When you're serving, and that's the example Timothy provides for us. And so, secondly though, we not only triumph in the service of others, we train for the service of others. Look at verse 23. Therefore, Paul says, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. We train for the service of others. Verse 22, but you know his proven character that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Timothy had trained for service. Paul thought of him as a son in the ministry. Sometimes, you know, I think sometimes somebody will get saved and we just jump up and down, hallelujah, and the next thing we're trying to do is get them involved in this ministry, this ministry, this ministry. No, they need to be trained first. They need to be mentored. They need to be taught. You don't put a brand new believer teaching Sunday school or Bible study. They need to be trained. They need to be raised up. They need to be mentored. And Timothy had a chance to do that. His mom and his grandmom had raised him up. He had a good reputation in the community that he lived in. You know, folks, you got to learn how to walk before you can run. But some of us need to get done walking and get to running. I love y'all enough to just tell you the truth sometimes. And, you know, when the branches of a tree outgrow its roots, what happens to that tree? That's right. A good strong wind and rain will topple that tree over. And so Paul gave Timothy time to prepare for service. The word proven is that word for testing of metals there in verse 22. And so Timothy had been to the training field, and then Paul took him to the mission field. Oh, that was good. Let me repeat that. If you're taking notes up here, I don't see many of you taking notes like this, but up here, you got to go to the training field first before you go to the mentoring field. Now, some of y'all have been in the training field for way too long, and it's time to get up out of the baby crib, and it's time to get out of the wading pool, and time to get in the deep water. You've been trained, you've been mentored, you know what to do, you know how to do it, and it's just time to get it done. Amen? And may I say this? Those of you that are my age, how many of you have, well, I was going to say, how many silver-haired folks we got, and then everybody's going to start looking around. But do you know everybody that's my age and up? You know what we need to be doing? We need to be pouring into our young people. We need to be teaching them and training them and educating them and informing them. And that's where some of this home group stuff is going to help us. Because older folks can mentor the younger folks, and bless God, the younger folks can energize the older folks. Right? We need one another. And so we first of all go to the training field, and then we're ready for the mission trail. We train other. I've got so much I need to say, I'm getting bobbled. Yeah. We train for the service of others. And so here's the last point in Timothy's example of tracking with Jesus. He says, we're tested in the service of others. Look at verses 23 and 4. Therefore, I hope to send him as at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Paul had a heart for this new church. He had a heart for them, and he wanted to know how things were going. And so he understood, though, that sometimes serving the needs of others can be a testing, trying experience. And you know, Timothy was going through some of that now. Everything that Paul experienced in serving the needs of others, Timothy experienced. Imprisonment, opposition, persecution even. He faced down false teachers and false prophets. He discipled the saints. He even had to discipline church members. It's a test of your faith sometimes to be involved in the service of others. But bless God, Timothy passed the test with flying colors. He eventually took Paul's place in the ministry. Did y'all know that Timothy became the great pastor at the fantastic church in Ephesus? I mean, he had a servant's heart. He was sold out to serve the needs of other people. And I want to tell you, I as a pastor here, overall, I am thrilled. This is a working, serving church. Now, we don't need to get to be like Ephesus and wind up losing our love. But this is a serving church, and we got places for you to serve. But we're going to pour into your life, especially you young families. I'm making that commitment to you. Because in just a few years, my horizon is up here. And we're going to be stepping off, and we're going to hand the baton over, and bless God, our young families and our young leaders, we've got to have this pipeline of new leadership coming in. We need worship leaders. We need administrators. We need pastors. We need we need all kinds of folks. And so we've got to be training people up because we've got to reach the next generation always. Are y'all with me? All right. So Timothy provides the example for us of living for service. There was a rabbi who had a dream, and in this dream he had the opportunity to visit heaven and hell. And so he had an escort in his dream that took him to the doorway to go to hell. And so he goes through the doorway, and it shocks him because in hell there's this huge banquet table. And people are sitting at this banquet table as far as he can see. And yet the people, and there's delicious mouth-watering food all in the middle of this banquet table. And yet people are crying out in hunger. They're screaming, they're moaning, and they're groaning. And the problem was they all had these long-handled spoons on the right side of their plate. And the spoons were long enough to reach the food in the table, in the middle of the table, but they were too long to get it back to their mouth. And so, man, the priest had to leave before long. He couldn't stand hearing all those cries and the people crying out in hunger, pain, and all that. And so he says, get me to heaven. I need to go to heaven. Well, his escort took him to heaven, and they come to the doorway, and he goes through, and there's shockingly the same setting. There's another banquet table there. And there's people sitting on either side of the table. And there's mouth-watering food, delicious-looking food in the center of the table. But unlike the folks in hell, the people there are celebrating. They're laughing. They're filled with joy and love. And the difference was they took their long-handled spoons and put it out in the dish in the middle of the table and started feeding one another. Service in the kingdom of God promises joy to everyone who will invest in the service of others. Isn't that good? Whew. That's where the joy comes from, brothers and sisters. And so Timothy provides the example of living for service. Paul provides the example of rejoicing in sacrifice. But there's one other fellow I want us to see here that's tracking. And his name is Epaphroditus. How many of you are good friends with Epaphroditus? Most of us, I had to be reminded who he was. You know, how would you like to be named Epaphroditus? Isaac, aren't you glad we didn't name you that? Hey, E, here comes E. But you know, Epaphroditus, that name means charming. That's pretty good. So let's look at Epaphroditus. He provides the example of ministering even in sickness. Look at verse 25. Paul describes here for us in verse 25, he gives a great description, a declaration, if you will, of ministry. He says, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need." And there's Lottie Moon calling one more time. Hallelujah. Dang. She's going to be loaded by Christmas time. All right. Epaphroditus, in this letter to the Philippians, receives more honor really than anybody else from the pen of the Apostle Paul. He was a member of the Philippian church there, and who risked his very life to bring Paul 800 miles from the Philippian church to Rome. And it was a dangerous road. And yet the church there in Philippi wanted to be a blessing to Paul. And so you know who they sent? They sent Epaphroditus with a little bit of this, a mission offering. The word messenger means missionary minister. And so he brought a little offering to help the Apostle Paul from the church. And Paul just couldn't say enough about Epaphroditus. You know, and I love the description that he gives of a servant of God. Did you catch it? He said, "My fellow brother in the family." Isn't it wonderful to have brothers in Christ? Well, there's three brothers in here. Isn't it wonderful to have sisters in Christ? Amen. I know you girls would do better. And so it's a wonderful thing to be in the family of God. And Epaphroditus was a member of the family. All right? But he's also a fellow, watch this, a fellow worker in the field. Epaphroditus had gotten to Rome, and he's ministering there to the Apostle Paul. And this brother didn't mind rolling up his sleeves and going to work. I told everybody before we came down here from when I was still at First Baptist, the day I gave my resignation to the church, I said, "Now, I want everybody to know God's called me to go plant this church, and that's what Diana and I have to go do. That's what He's told us to do, and that's what we're going to do. But I don't want any of you all to come with me." Did I not say that, Billy and Carol? I said, I don't want any of you to come with me. And I said, "Here's why. It is hard work planting a new church." Well, some of you didn't take me up on my offer. You came anyways. But I've had other folks tell me and others in our founding members, you know, I'd come down to Second Mile. We'd love to come visit, but you know what? Too much work. Brothers and sisters, the work that we do is going to last for an eternity. Hallelujah. And so Epaphroditus was a fellow brother in the family. He was a fellow worker in the field, but he's also a fellow soldier in the fight. Did you catch that? He said, "And a fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need." He wasn't afraid to roll up his sleeves and go to work, and he wasn't afraid to fight the good fight of the faith. He wasn't afraid of the enemy. He visited Paul while he was there in prison in Rome. How many of y'all have held a Bible study down at the jailhouse? One? Two? Three? How many of you have been to the prison? There's one. You know, there's just some places we think we're not supposed to go. No, we're to go everywhere with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to fight the good fight of the faith. And so Paul says, "He was your messenger." He speaks of being a missionary minister. He had ministered to the Apostle Paul, and Paul was getting ready to send him back, but something happened before he could get back to the church. Remember, it took about 6 weeks to get from Philippi to Rome. Paul reveals not only the description of ministry, but the danger in ministry. Look at 26. "Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick, for indeed he was sick almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Verse 30. "Because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. There's many dangers, toils, and snares in the midst of ministry sometimes. And one of those is sickness, illness. And we don't know exactly when or what happened, but Epaphroditus had grown deathly sick while he got there to Rome and was trying to minister to Paul. And it had delayed his return trip to Philippi and probably was sick for about how many months? Maybe 3 months. And he was so sick he almost died. But you know what? He didn't quit serving even in sickness. Matter of fact, he defied danger. He scorned sickness. I mean, he was all about it. That word distress means to be extremely depressed. And it's the same word that was used by Jesus when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Epaphroditus wasn't depressed because of his illness. He was depressed because he didn't want the Philippian church to worry about him or to be burdened by his troubles. This is a man, Paul said, who esteemed others better than himself. I'll just share one quick story. Yeah, those of you that don't know J.D. and Betty Justice, J.D.'s a pastor. It was a local pastor in Montgomery County. Well, I don't know. Is New Faith, are they in Montgomery County? Okay. Just barely. And so he felt led from there, and they joined here about 3 years ago, and he's got a wonderful, he and Betty have a wonderful ministry. He's got a great prayer ministry. She's got a card ministry. How many of you have ever gotten a card from Betty? I mean, you see what I mean? But a year and a half ago, this blessed couple who ministers to people wound up with COVID. And I thought, well, you won't hear much from J.D. and Betty. Wrong again. This brother kept up with that prayer list of his, and it would call me and text me and email me, what about so-and-so? How are they doing? Do they need to stay on the list? Do we need to keep praying for them? That's what it means, folks. Sometimes when we're serving the needs of others, tough times are going to come, and we got to stay with the stuff, even when we're sick. Even when we're sick. Even when we suffer. Now, you need to take care of yourself, duh, obviously. But Paul said, man, he's been detained. He wanted to get back to Philippi. But he's been ministering to me. He brought the mission gift, and it's blessed me, and he's blessed me. And he'll be on his way back because God's touched him and healed him. And then finally, Paul reveals to us the delight in ministry. Look at verse 28, and we're done. Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly that when you see him again, you may rejoice. And I may be less sorrowful. Paul had already sent him on. He says, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem. Because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Paul was rejoicing over Epaphroditus' recovery and homegoing. The Philippians would also rejoice at seeing him and hearing the news about the great Apostle Paul. I would imagine they had a covered dish dinner, or maybe they had a guy on the grill cooking hamburgers and hot dogs. And they were looking forward to his homecoming. There's nothing like the family of God. When we get together and we fellowship, there's joy in the house of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength, no matter what happens. Paul said, you know what? I may be executed. I don't know what's going to happen to me, but it's okay. The joy that was his, do you see? How many times did that word joy or rejoicing appear in the passage we just read this morning? There's joy in the house of the Lord. And Epaphroditus wouldn't let anything stop him. He just kept serving the Lord even in sickness. What an example for us to follow. Dr. Viktor Frankl was an Austrian physician in World War II, and he wound up in one of Hitler's death camps. And let me tell you, the living conditions were deplorable. You couldn't even call them living conditions. Atrocities committed against his Jewish brothers there in that death camp. People were dying all around him every day. And Dr. Frankel did all he could do as a medical doctor to help those people, but he didn't have any supplies, and all he had, you know, were his hands. And so he helped as many people as he could, but he made an amazing discovery in that death camp with all of those Jewish prisoners and Jewish brothers. The ones who stayed the strongest, the ones who kept their strength and their sanity the longest, were, guess what? Those people who were extending friendliness, compassion, kindness, and care to their fellow Jewish prisoners. They were focused on others rather than themselves. Ministry will energize you and strengthen you, you as well as other people. That is the tremendous secret about serving the needs of others. Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus followed the footprints of Jesus, and they found joy, peace, love, fulfillment, satisfaction at the end of that trail. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord today. Andrew, we used to sing it. I'm an old man, and so we sing an old song from where I'm from. But do you remember that song, Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow? We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er we go. Brothers, sisters, listen to your pastor. There is joy for those who are willing to sacrifice others and serve others no matter what. That's the secret of the Christian life. Because you see, when you're serving others, you're really serving Jesus. Let's bow our heads. This is a time of response, I think, that we all need. I don't know what God's saying to you this morning. But it just may be that you're not following Jesus because you don't know Jesus. Well, it just begins with a simple surrender. A surrender of your life to Him. Making a spiritual U-turn. And giving everything that you are to everything that He is. That's all it is. It's a step of faith, being sorry for your sins, so sorry for your sinfulness that you receive the gift of salvation that Jesus completed for you on the cross and calling on Him to save you. And you can do that right there in your seat today. We had one man do that last Sunday. He told me over here at the Welcome Center that he prayed to receive Christ. I'm praying that in this walk with Jesus, he'd go ahead and follow through with his baptism. Not for salvation, but just as a coming out party that I'm now following Jesus. And some of you in here need to do that this morning. That's right, just pray right there where you sit. This between you and God. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Tell Him you believe that He is God's Son. And that He paid the price for all your sin. And then just ask Him to come into your life and change you. And He will. Now thank Him for forgiving you. And in just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to take your stand for Christ. By coming forward, we want to put some stuff in your hands. We want to give you some things to get started right in your new life with Christ. And then there are others that are here this morning. And you know that you know that you know you're not serving like you could serve. Some of you are like me, you're older and you can't do what you used to do, but you can still do something. So let's just ask God to help us finish well and to pour into these young believers. Father, this is your time. It's not mine. And you're the one who lays commitment and faith and conviction on people's hearts, not me. That's your job. So I pray everyone all across this room that we would begin to follow Jesus in a way that's pleasing to you. And maybe that's going to happen through coming to an altar to pray, or making a strong, firm commitment to get more involved in the ministry of the church. Or maybe it's through this thing called salvation, being saved, born again, right here today. Do what you want to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Andrew, what are we going to sing here, brother?
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.